Fan Hotline is presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Donnie Chedrick with you on 93.7 The Fan tonight until 10. We are live at Sports and Social Steel City on the second floor here at Live Casino in Greensburg. Stop out and enjoy a cold Miller Lite. Training camp coverage on The Fan is presented by Smale Kia in Greensburg and brought to you by Miller Lite, Schleideck, and New Flow Men's Health. And hey, by the way, show proof of a training camp ticket and receive happy hour drink pricing where you can get an ice cold Miller Lite draft for only $4. Or try the tailgate package, which includes a nacho platter, 24 boneless wings, and 100 ounces of Miller Lite beer in one of those towers for just $65. On that Fan Hotline right now, to give us a little training camp update is our guy, Jeff Hathorn, sports director, 93.7 The Fan and 93.7thefan.com. Jeff, an earlier practice today, the getting out ahead of the Doppler, as Mike Tomlin likes to say, and the weather a little bit kinder to everybody involved in what was about 95 yesterday, over 100 on the field. A little bit more comfortable today, I take it.
Yeah, although it didn't feel that much less. I mean, it was 78 or something when practice started. It felt like it was in the 90s. The humidity was still huge, and then, you know, we saw temperatures rise on the field, and it didn't take too long within practice as those temperatures escalated at practice today. But, yeah, they were able to get it done. Of course, they moved practice. It didn't end up raining because, you know, that's exactly what happens when you plan for rain.
Were you referring to some of the skirmishes that took place when you said things heated up on the field?
I was. There was a lot of competitiveness on both sides, a little bit at the line of scrimmage, and mind you, they weren't in pads today, but on some of these one-on-one drills, which it's not backs on backers, but when you put defensive backs and wide receivers, the two most talkative groups on a football field on average, and have them go up against each other, generally something's going to happen. But what we saw was between two specific guys that erupted a couple of times, and with Jonnu Smith and Juan Thornhill.
I think a lot of people were getting the popcorn ready for DK Metcalf and Jalen Ramsey. Were they not the main characters in anything yet?
DK was involved in a little something. Chuck Clark was kind of in the middle of that one. But no, it's ironic, strangely enough, because, you know, Ramsey, people have used the James Harrison comp to Ramsey in terms of his demeanor on a football field, but we have not seen that. We've seen him make plays. We just haven't seen him kind of get involved in the pushing and shoving that we've seen through a couple of times first week of camp.
Jeff, in the early going, a little bit over a week now, the Steelers are into training camp. Some of the risers that you are noticing on this roster, some of the winners of camp, I guess we could say, a week in.
Yeah, I would say as a group, it's the defensive backs. That is a group that I think has performed very well, all things considered. It is early for risers. I mean, I'll give it to him because he hasn't done much in camp. Roman Wilson had the catch of the day, went up over Joey Porter to make a catch. It was a spectacular play by Wilson, and you kind of been waiting for Roman to step up, and he knows. Mike Tomlin said it very publicly about how important this camp is for him, and today he was able to go up, you know, and make that play. James Pierre made a couple of plays today. That doesn't mean he's going to start, but he stepped up a couple of times. We haven't noticed it as much on the line. I mean, YA's gotten his hands up a couple of times. We've seen Sawyer be a little disruptive at times. Obviously, tomorrow night is when there's going to be the biggest crowd of camp, and the energy is going to be high, and we'll probably see a couple of these guys really step up. But, I would say this too. Watching the way Aaron Rodgers leads and how, I think Roman Wilson said it well today when he said that, he's the coolest guy he's ever met. He's just got this confidence about him and this way that guys have gravitated to him that's just been fascinating to watch here, not really knowing what to expect with him as the quarterback.
What kind of crowd are they expecting tomorrow out at Latrobe Memorial?
Well, Donnie, just like when you played, a packed house.
I did play there a few times in rec football, you know, and then we scrimmaged there a couple of times. I do like that field, that stadium.
Yeah, it's a cool venue, and I think the drive in, as much as anything. I mean, it's that way with most high school fields. But as you drive in, you go the back roads, and you're going by the houses, and there are people that are kind of guessing what the route might be, and they're out on their porches, and they've got signs, and it's just for these guys that go through all this stuff, and you know, are big time, and are so many millionaires, to kind of see that flavor. I know Tomlin talks about it every year, but I do think there is something to it. You know, to get in a school bus, to ride down the road and pull into a stadium and have all these people, you know, waiting for you, is, and then to ramp it up almost always when you get onto that field. I think that's and that's why they didn't have pads today, because they wanted to make sure they have pads tomorrow night.
And it's also special, too, because you mentioned, like, the drive to the stadium. They're driving through what is a very blue-collar town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they're in all due respect to these people, I mean, they all have much more money than I ever will. They're not driving through Fox Chapel here, Jeff, where
no.
all the houses look like the ones the players have. I mean, you're driving through Latrobe and, you know, it just – an area where, you know, like, this might be the only Steelers football some of the folks there get to see.
And not that you would have the narration like on the double-decker bus, but if you did, I'm sure the players can even understand, like, oh, man, that's a closed mill. Or these dudes must have used to, you know, or their parents or grandparents must have walked to the mill from this house. And I think there is, especially, I mean, Aaron Rodgers – he knows hearing about Pittsburgh, but a guy like that from California, he doesn't know what this is. I mean, I know he's been in Green Bay, but this is, I mean, it is cool for them to maybe get an idea of where this mentality comes from and how these guys, to your point, it's really blue collar. And I think they do a tremendous job with the whole thing. It's an awesome event. They've made it not just an awesome event for the fans, but also for these guys. And I believe them when they say this is something they look forward to, not only to get out there, but it breaks up the routine and makes it a little different. And, oh, by the way, it's cooler at night.
Talking to Jeff Hathorn, sports director, 93.7 The Fan and 93.7thefan.com. Jeff, some of the fallers so far in camp, some of the guys on the unfortunate losing end through this first week.
Yeah, I would say, and a lot of this is due to injury. I really want to see him with pads on before I make a final impression of what Broderick Jones is going to look like at left tackle. But because of the injury, we haven't seen it. I mean, we've seen him got beat a couple of times in unpadded work. So what happens when he gets on the field and he's healthy or healthier with pads on? I mean, that's the one to me that's been a talking point for so many of us, because it's such a key position, no matter who your quarterback is, but especially when you have a 41-year-old. You know, I look at the other – I thought that Darnell Washington was having a good camp. Like, he was taking another step of being that guy that can be a downfield threat. Well, just by process of adding Jonnu Smith, like, where does – Darnell find work? And it's not even anything that really he's done, but like, his arrow is down only from the fact of there are more bodies in front of him now. So that's a guy I look. I mean, if you're a middle linebacker and you're not Patrick Queen or Peyton Wilson, you're not getting any reps with the first team. So Cole Holcomb is working his way back from injury. Malik Harrison, Mark Robinson. I mean, there are two inside linebackers, period. And those guys might play every snap, barring injury or extreme heat or fatigue. I mean, that has been – that probably is an arrow up for those guys and an arrow down for anyone behind them. And, but there hasn't been anybody I've looked at and said, damn, they've just been bad, which I guess is a good thing a week into practice.
I had a feeling you were going to go the Broderick Jones route there. I mean, I am – I wouldn't say, like, level 10 worried, but it's probably getting to, like, 7 or 8. Although we do know you just don't want to overreact to some things that happen in the preseason and in training camp, but there are a few, you know, seasons now under his belt to where it's, you know, you got to – and strap it up, or that's pretty much it for you.
And I'm sure, yes. And as a quick aside, Donnie, to that point about overreacting, I mean, I'm sure there are people yelling at the radio, oh, Will Howard. It's so hard to evaluate the third quarterback because you're working with guys that are either not going to be in the league or probably on practice squads or maybe barely making a roster and going against the same type of guys. So it's I want to always, with those guys, you know, have a grain of salt. Now, does he look like he understands things? Has he made some good throws? He made a good throw today to Rock Taylor. That's great. But that's why I didn't put him on that list. And back to Jones for a second. He did some individual work, like his footwork, his punch, like that stuff looked good today. But it just hasn't all clicked. And I need to see him in the preseason. I mean, not to single him out, to put him out there longer than other guys, but, and I really feel like I need to see something from him on that left side, and preferably with Sayamalu, but I can't imagine Sayamalu is going to get a lot of snaps in those three games.
Jeff, I'm glad you brought up Will Howard, because I hopped on with the guys yesterday, and, you know, Pony could not seem to understand the point I was trying to make about him, where, you know, I hope the kid is great. I'm rooting for him as much as I possibly can. I mean, as you obviously are with your Ohio State, you know, tie-in as well. But people just have to understand the guy got taken in round 6. Like, we got to stay on planet Earth. Like, I feel bad for him because the expectations just feel like they are already at an unfair level.
Yeah, listen, it's great that fans flock to a guy, and he has handled himself like a champ. I mean, in every scenario that he's been in, he has said the right things, he's done the right things, he's signing autographs, like all that stuff. He's made a couple of throws, but, man, to evaluate a guy working with the third team is dangerous. And, you know, let him take this redshirt year and learn the NFL, and don't worry about any of the results. And then let's go come back next year and see what it looks like, because who knows what the quarterback situation is going to be next year. I don't know if he's going to be a part of it or not, but he'll have a year under his belt. He'll be getting some more legit reps, and I hope for the Steelers' standpoint that everybody stays healthy, because I really think he could use that time just to kind of soak in the NFL.
What would the goal be if you were Will Howard, that in 2025, it's just I feel, you know, we should be fine with him not taking a snap. That probably means things
yes.
went relatively well.
Yes. I mean, even Ben, the plan wasn't for him to start when he was a rookie. Remember, Charlie got hurt in camp. Then St. Pierre got hurt. And then Maddox goes down. And, I mean, that wasn't – and remember, Tomlin wasn't the coach. So for everybody screaming, oh, that's just Tomlin. Oh, that was Cowher.
Yep.
But the plan wasn't for him to play right away. And you drafted him as high as you drafted a quarterback in forever. So, yeah, I mean, even for Ben, the thought was let's give him some time to figure this out. I know there have been quarterbacks that have stepped right in, but most of those guys – are, you know, their name has been called by 9 o'clock on Thursday, not at some point on Saturday. So yeah, I mean, just give him some time. Let's see what he might be able to do and get a fair representation of an entire season. And like I said, let's come back next year at camp and see where he's at.
All of that being said, is it pretty clear that he has an inside track to be that third guy instead of Skylar Thompson?
No doubt. He'll be the third quarterback.
Isaac Seumalo back today. Jeff, just in his limited action, how has he looked?
Yeah, and I mean, he's a veteran. He knows what he needs to do in these scenarios. And watching him just do some individual work, you know, where you're just punching a pad and going up and down kind of with four guys and working different angles, he looked fine. We don't know what the soft tissue injury was. But there isn't anything where you look at it that's either taped or obvious that he's nursing anything. So I would expect that he would be back. I mean, maybe he goes through some reps tomorrow with the first team, but it doesn't seem like there's anything major with him. And Donnie, one other thing to point out before I forget from today is, and we've talked versatility. Josh Smith lined up a tailback and took a pitch during a play.
That's an interesting wrinkle. And then he told us after,
he said, well, you guys need to look up a box score from 2019 of Titans-Texans.
Yes, he had a carry in that game, and I think it went for, like, long yardage.
57 yards it went. He did not score somehow, but it went 57 yards. And he said, you know, he'll do any of it. That was an interesting wrinkle to throw out there in front of all the fans and knowing that we could report it. Yeah, I mean, listen, he's got some speed. I can understand why you might want to do that. And, you know, you throw him back there, you roll a couple of tight ends out there, and that's why, you know, like Roman Wilson making a catch today was so important, because you're thinking about all the different combinations. And, you know, you want Jaylen Warren out there, but how about Darnell getting an opportunity? And then well, Gainwell's done a nice job of running routes. How do you work him into the mix? And, oh, yeah, we've got this rookie Caleb Johnson. And, you know, Calvin Austin is the fastest guy we've got on the team. You're not taking DK off. You're not taking Freiermuth off the field. Like, how are you going to find a rep if you're a receiver? It's great to have all these different options, but for those guys, it's about taking advantage of every situation. And that's going to be cool to watch, you know, during the preseason games. Like, can Roman show something on a field? You know, remember Calvin Austin missed a year, and then he kind of started making a little name for himself. Can Roman Wilson be the Calvin Austin of 3 years ago or 2 years ago and start making a name for himself? And what can Darnell do without when the other tight ends aren't going to be playing a lot in the preseason? What can Connor Hayward show, you know, with his value? And then, of course, there's a special teams aspect of it. I know those games get boring for a lot of us, but there are so many little things you could watch during those games that will impact roster decisions.
Jeff, before we let you go, the top three guys you're looking forward to watching tomorrow night. It could be either side of the ball. It could be a special teamer.
Ooh, how about Caleb Johnson? Because they're probably going to do some kind of back on backers or pass protection drill that he's going to have to make a play. I want to see how Jalen Ramsey handles this energy. Like, he seems to be one of those guys that loves the big moment. So that would be another guy I'm watching. And then third would be the aforementioned Will Howard. Like, if Will Howard goes out there and just has himself a practice, that legend is only going to grow by leaps and bounds.
Jeff Hathorn, check him out, 93.7thefan.com, our sports director here at 93.7 The Fan. Jeff, thank you.
Thanks, Tommy.
There we go. That's Jeff Hathorn. By the way, folks, come out here August 3rd. Check out the car cruise from noon until 5 in the live casino parking lot. Cars, trucks, motorcycles will be accepted. Visit carcruiselive.com. Coming up, we will head back to the Pirates at the deadline, what I think is one of the worst deadlines in the history of Pittsburgh sports. Noah Hiles, he covers the Buccos for the Post-Gazette. He was also on a Zoom call with Ben Charrington a little bit ago. We will hear from Noah coming up next. You can join the conversation at 412-928-9370 on the fan text line. which is brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Noah Hiles joins us next. We are live at Sports and Social Steel City here at Live Casino in Greensburg on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.